handle the truth.
I'm Jim Price, Jim Price Show Daily Update. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. It is March 22nd. It's a Friday, 2024. So thank you guys so much for being here. I do have a special guest with me today, and he is already on the line. Are you there, sir?
Hey, Jim. How's it going, brother?
Good to see you, sir. Now, you are go ahead and give everybody your name real quick and where you're at.
My name is Jake Lang, and I am a January 6th political prisoner. I have been incarcerated for 1,161 days, that is 3 years and 3 months, without a trial by the oppressive, tyrannical Joe Biden regime.
Wow, sir. I am ashamed of my country knowing that this is happening. I have faced similar persecution, not to the extent that you have had, but I do understand. I've had my house raided twice. So I am very sympathetic to what's going on. I appreciate you calling in. Now, where are you located right now? Can you tell us?
Yes, of course. I've been moved. And first of all, the weaponization of the DOJ that you've suffered under and thousands of other Americans have suffered under is going to be one of the biggest election issues this year. They are painting their own demise. I am calling you from a federal prison in Brooklyn, New York, my 15th different stop as a political prisoner. They moved me to 15 different prisons, and I've been in Brooklyn for about a month now.
So where is, if we're going to call home, where are you home from? Where's your home?
Home is upstate New York, beautiful riverside on the Delaware River hamlet called Narrowsburg, New York. I miss my home very much. I've been held in the D.C. gulag for most of my time. I've been incarcerated, and it feels like another country, and it literally is.
Yeah. Well, and again, this is, again, how we treat our fellow citizens, Americans that are treated this way. But we got people coming over our borders in Florida, in Mexico, in Canada that are getting $15,000 to $20,000 a month to live here. We have an individual who's in January 6th. Who was at January 6th and has been incarcerated, not in his home city, not where his family can find him and taken care of him, but in a different borough altogether. And so for you, how is this? Do you have family? Do you have kids, dogs? I mean, what's at home for you?
I have the most amazing support structure surrounding me, as most January 6ers do. We're regular everyday Americans that showed up at the Capitol to protest a stolen election. And we were kidnapped out of our homes by the FBI. My father, my mother, my sister, my beautiful fiance, everybody misses me very much. And, you know, throughout this persecution, we've also had this just conglomeration of all of our family members and all of our supporters and prayer warriors have just made this incredible community called the January 6th community that is tens of thousands of people strong, volunteers, you know, people writing letters and doing fundraisers for us. It is truly remarkable to see how the enemy thought they would destroy us and rip us out of our communities, but they've actually, the federal government and all of the demonic principalities have actually brought the people of God together in such an incredible way through this adversity.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, guy, I will tell you right now, you don't need the government to marry you. If you've got a fiance that loves you that much, just you know, work it out between the two of you. So when you're going through all this, this phone call right now, this is costing you how much per 15 minutes?
It's $2 per 15-minute phone call, and that's actually one of the, it's horrendous. It's extortion by the government on, you know, I'm a pretrial detainee. I haven't been found guilty of any crime. The last 3 years, I've probably spent $10,000, $20,000 in phone calls, not even a joke, yeah. Not exaggerating there. And that's actually part of the reason why we started the January 6th Commissary Fund. Basically, if you guys go to sponsorj6.com, you can sponsor a January 6th political prisoner, help them pay for their hygiene products, their phone calls home, their little email credits so they can write a little email to their family members. Everything costs money in jail, food products, clothing, shoes, everything. So, you know, basically all these men, they're not able to work any longer, and they got young wives and kids at home, a majority of them. Uh-huh. And so the young wives and kids are fending for themselves. You know, daddy's been taken out of the home, the breadwinner's gone. Right. And so it's our job, I think it's our duty as American people, to really get behind, you know, there's about 270 of us in prison right now. And if you guys are looking for a way to support the Jan Sixers in a real tangible way, first of all, pray for us. At 9 p.m. every night, we do the national anthem. That Donald Trump just played the J6 national anthem in Ohio the other night. I heard, you know, we're getting recognition from him. He's offering us pardons, but please pray for us. Right. Sing the national anthem with us. And if you guys could go to sponsorj6.com and, you know, whatever you can afford, $20 a month, $50, whatever you can help out with, it goes such a long way. Yeah. And me and all my political prisoner brothers are super appreciative.
Well, and I know that these are 50-minute clips of time for you to get in. That's why I just jumped right into the show right away for you. And I do appreciate you being here. I do want to give you a bit of education. Do you know that the phone system that you're on right now is actually – its corporate headquarters is in China. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it is.
I'm sure it is. It's called Global Tellink.
Yeah, I actually traced it back. They have a home office, quote unquote, in New York, one in San Francisco, and then one in China, mainland China. And so what I'm saying is that the guy who supposedly is the CEO of the telecom system you're using, he also is a CEO, treasurer, secretary, blah, blah, blah. He's the only person in the corporation, and it's all a big shell game. I went and I matched the address to a building that's in China, and it says it's an entertainment center. So the money you're paying into right now is sponsoring China while they sponsor Joe.
It's a wicked web they weave, man. That's why they call it the swamp. That's why we got to drain it. You know, I'm really imploring all the audience listeners out there, get involved in civic duty and action. We've got a few months left before this presidential election, and we need to secure everything. I mean, our lives are on the line here. We've got about 1,400 persecuted January Sixers, and we're looking for pardons. 300 of us are currently behind bars, and the only one who's going to drive it home for us in the country is Donald Trump. So if you want to volunteer to do voter roll, you know, cleaning off the voter rolls, do that. If you want to be an election poll watcher, you know, do that. Do whatever you can. If you can go out and be a door knocker, get active, get up off the couch today, Google something, Google your local Republicans club, whatever you got to do to get involved and start making it happen. That's what makes America great. Your action, not relying on Trump or somebody else to bring it home. You got to get up and help.
Well, and where is there a website? Can you just spell out the website so I can put it in the comments here? So what's a website that we can donate to or that helps us reach people like you and others to be able to support you guys?
Yeah, the best way, guys, is sponsorj6.com, the letter J, the number 6, sponsorj6.com. We've been so blessed by amazing and generous American supporters out there. Currently, my organization, sponsorj6.com, feeds all 270 January Sixers incarcerated with $100 a month on their commissary. But there's more people being arrested literally every day. There's more needs that we have not been able to fulfill. There's emergency family needs that happen all the time. I mean, you have to imagine the businesses have been destroyed. A lot of them had their cars repossessed. They had to move out of their homes. And so we're, you know, currently pushing to be able to take care of the new people coming in, to be able to buy books for the guys. You have a book drive going on, you know, people, you need stuff to do while you're locked up. Yeah. So if you guys, I mean, please, if God puts it on your heart, whatever you can do, sponsorj6.com is a place to go.
Absolutely. Now, you remember 2 years ago, Nancy Pelosi put it in the omnibus bill to arrest 1,100 more J6ers. And if you know anything about the government, when they're given a task in the budget requires them to go do those things. So for you guys, you know, it doesn't look like this is the end. If we have this continues on, they have been arresting people still today. I know there's been people that recently been arrested. They've got a quote unquote job to do, according to Nancy Pelosi, of 1,100 more arrests.
And they've got a job to do. The 80,000 IRS agents have new ones have a job to do. The federal government is a swollen behemoth of tyranny. Mm-hmm. And it's our job as the American citizen, the constitutionalists, we have to band together and to stand against this. I mean, this is an abridgment of our most fundamental rights. They're terrorizing American citizens. They are draining our bank accounts. They're doing everything they can in their power. And, you know, we must mount up like on the eagle's wings and wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will be restored and renewed. And, you know, it's time that we really start to turn our attention to God. That's why I give the message every time. I've been incarcerated for, you know, like I said, 3 years and 3 months, but 2 years of that has been solitary confinement, Jim. Wow. And in that time, I've learned the patience and the ability for God to provide, even in the midst of the horrendous situations that we're in. And I know that His promises in the Bible are true. His word goes forth from Him and does not return void. And if you turn your heart towards God, He will heal this land, right? We know that from the famous prayer that if we repent from our wicked ways and turn our hearts towards God, He will hear our prayers from heaven and turn His face towards us and heal our land. And we need a healing. We need revival. We need Jesus in this country. Right. We need Jesus so much, Jim.
Yes, sir. Well, and this is a continuation of what we know to be, like you said, the behemoth or the this functional bureaucracy that's going through the motions, and they don't know better to stop. I mean, our country knows that the Constitution limits the government, but yet they don't practice it, right? They don't participate in that. When you were in solitary confinement, I'm going to tell you right now, man, I know the psychological effects of that. I know that it's actually very damning. They know the psychological effects of what they're doing. How were you able, you said you did 2 years. I mean, how were you able to maintain your mental stability?
Well, you know, the name of Jesus Christ, it supersedes all mental instabilities. And I leaned on my Lord and I got in relation with God in such an intimate way, reading the word, praising, having a little handset radio where I can turn on worship music and spending my time working out, doing thousands of push-ups and listening to gospel music and reading the word and writing letters. And I wrote a book, and the little time that I had out of my cell every day, an hour or two, I got on the phone and I spoke to truth. I spoke God's word. I spoke to truth about what's happening to our country. I've done about 600-700 interviews in the last few years. The enemy's tried to stifle our voices as January Sixers, remove us from our communities and, you know, detach us from our family ties and our community ties. But it's through their intense attack on us. They've tried to make us an example, but we're making them an example right back of God's spirit and the power to persevere through all kinds of fiery trials and tribulations and persecutions. And this battle that we're having is not one of the physical, it's in the spirit. And I've waged it for years in my cell alone, knowing that the enemy surrounded me, that I've been encamped against, but that God is surrounding the enemy. And look at the last month that we've had, Jim. Yeah. Every single day is another breaking news story about January 6th. Liz Cheney lied to the J6 Select Committee and hid evidence. And then, you know, the 1512 charge is going to Supreme Court, the obstruction of Congress charge going to Supreme Court on April 16th. We're about to have a hallelujah factor day. I mean, Donald Trump saying that one of his first three acts as president is going to be pardon the Jan Sixers. Every single day, we're seen to have more wins up on our board. And that's a direct, tangible effect of our faith and our prayers coming to fruition throughout the last 3 years.
Absolutely. Well, and as you're doing this, there's been stories that I've had a lot of J6ers on the show, and you know, and it's amazing to hear the different stories across the country. The sad part of it is that you're not being victimized by your fellow prisoners. It's the jailers and the administration within the jails that are actually victimizing or withholding certain rights from you, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the prisoners really respect us. You know, they see us as freedom fighters that stood up against the tyrannical federal government that is, you know, in many cases, wrongfully convicted and, you know, persecuted and prosecuted a lot of them. I mean, of course, I'm a man of law and order, and God's justice is perfect, and we can only try to replicate it and, you know, and rehabilitate people. But you know, you go through these federal prison systems for years and you see the pain and the hurt and the mistreatment of the prisoners at the hands of the jailers. And you add on top of that direct marching orders from, you know, the Democrat brass telling them to, you know, break the will and the conviction of these Jan 6 prisoners. We need them to fold and to take plea deals and to turn on Trump. That is your one job, DC jail. That is your one job, federal prisons, BOP. You need to break these men so that none of them are able to form a robust and proper defense and win in their court cases, because the FBI and the DOJ and all of these apparatchiks, they are so ripe to absolutely crumble because of how egregious the overcharging and the broad sweeping use of these law codes that are being weaponized. And the only way they can maintain this complete puppet show, this railroading, these Soviet style convictions and just show trials, is by mentally and socially and spiritually and physically exhausting and degrading and beating up us Jan 6ers. If we had the proper means and capabilities to defend ourselves, if we had all the exculpatory evidence, all of the government's, you know, exonerating evidence of what FBI agents were there, what assets were there, stirring up strife, causing trouble. If we had all of this video evidence that's slowly being leaked out thousands of days later after many of our trials, we would win. And if we had the most important thing, if we had a jury of our peers, Jim, yeah, we would win. So in all ways, they've rigged the system against us so that they can show points on their scoreboard. You know, they can say, oh, we got another one, another felony plea deal, another felony plea deal, another felony plea deal. But in honesty, the system and the justice system is completely two-tiered and is rigged against conservatives and Trump supporters. And that's the only reason why we're losing our court cases.
Oh, absolutely. And I have seen it in my own life. I know it happened here in Wichita, Kansas. The judge I was having coffee with for 3 years, he signed the no-knock warrant on my house the morning of my birthday. And he said, happy birthday, Jim. So this happened back in 2018. So for me, guys, it's I know what you're going through, and I understand the miscarriage of justice we have. What's going on with some of the rumors or conversations of appeals going to Supreme Court, appellate court? Is any of that getting traction? Are you guys finding any relief there?
Yes. So I'll give you guys a brief synopsis. There's a political weaponized charge called a 1512 obstruction of Congress. It is a 20-year maximum felony charge, very serious. And these very zealous prosecutors have used it as a bludgeoning tool to overbroadly charge hundreds and hundreds of everyday American citizens. And most, I mean, like myself, I didn't even make it inside the Capitol, but most people just barely entered the Capitol, maybe were there for a few minutes and left. And they're being charged with a 20-year maximum felony charge. Like, I mean, that's like, you know, robbing a bank. You get 20 years for robbing a bank, guys, at gunpoint and hurting people. So what they're doing with this is they've realized now there's two big things that just happened with the 1512 charge. First of all, it's the blanket political charge. It's the one that they've used on grandmas and over 330 Jan 6ers. And so recently a federal appellate court, the appellate court here in Washington, D.C., has ruled that the sentencing enhancements, which is basically a way that they stack more years on top of your criminal sentence, have been unjustly applied to the January 6ers for the 1512 charge. So that just got tossed out last week. And on top of that, the entire 1512 charge itself is being brought to Supreme Court April 16th. It was already picked up. It's been accepted. April 16th, the arguments will be happening for it, whether or not this charge even applies to the January 6ers whatsoever. And so I have a strong feeling. And by the way, guys, Donald Trump has been charged with a 1512 obstruction of Congress. So this Supreme Court hearing is astronomical. It's, you know, my team actually was the one to file first in the Supreme Court for this 1512 charge, along with two other Jan 6ers, and we were picked up. So, you know, we will be arguing in April for this. I mean, this could be the difference between if Donald Trump goes to jail or not. It's literally that important. And it's a difference between many of my brothers that are currently behind bars. If this case gets thrown out, if this charge gets thrown out, there will be a clearhouse a clearinghouse of the jails. Hundreds of people will go home immediately, Jan Sixers, because this is mainly the only serious charge that a lot of us have.
Right, right. Well, and imagine that this is allowed to happen in a country, the land of the free, and it's very disappointing. Real quick, when you think about the things that Trump is going through, do you see those as things that are going to, backdraft onto or undertow everything that the Democrats are doing now? I mean, if they're really overexposing their hand and all the things that they're willing to do now, wouldn't this all flip and go the other way next January 6th itself?
That's a great question. I remember January 6th this way, the day when free men stood against tyranny. And it is not just our right, but our duty in this country. If tyranny presents itself, if evil rears its ugly head up, we have a duty to stand against it.
Absolutely.
And so, God forbid, if they steal election again, you know, the American patriots need to be prepared to defend this constitutional republic from the Marxist takeover, right, no matter what. And, you know, it's so discouraging that in the land of the free, home of the brave here, and the foremost industrialized country in the entire world, that we can't even get our election systems right. And that men and women every day get carpenters and gas station owners and school teachers and bus drivers and all these awesome people that are January 6ers literally have to show up in the millions and petition their government and stand against this tyranny. And God forbid, we need to put in the work now, yeah, so that we don't have to do the dirty work later.
Well, that you answered the question, but I think I wanted to get to the point of, if they're showing their hand that they're trying to say, well, can a former president be, you know, charged with crimes? Wouldn't that mean that the pedo Joe would be a former president after January 6th of next year as well? Wouldn't he be also be able to be ran through the everything the way,
you know? God has mercy. I'm a man of mercy, and I believe Joe needs to be put in a nice, humane institution where the doors he cannot open himself and be treated for his, you know, obviously mental and spiritual health conditions, his sexual perversions and his malfeasance and taking money from other foreign countries. I mean, you know, being a traitor, he's committing sedition against our country, and he's treasonous. He needs to be put away and taken care of as a criminal, but treated well, you know, and so he can't harm any more people by what he's done, and he needs to atone for his sins and repent. But yes, the reckoning will come. You know, I don't like to run on a platform of vengeance. I don't like to speak about vengeance because vengeance is the Lord's, but justice will be served. Those who are culpable and responsible for the illegal jailing and detainment of thousands of American patriots, the Jan Sixers, and all of Trump's cohorts and his awesome team around him, Bannon and Navarro, who's America's political prisoner, my lawyer, Stephanie Lambert, who's fighting for election integrity, who's recently arrested, all these people who have had their rights demolished, and the people that are culpable for doing it will be tried and God willing found guilty for their crimes and serve due process of justice, right. You know, and it's unfortunate, but people have to pay for their crimes here. We can't have a lawless society.
Well, and I do appreciate how gracious you are and the idea that you're willing to be that sacrificing to them and say they need to be treated fairly. The observation that I have, and this all started for me in 2016. It ramped up in 2018. I finally went through my convictions in 2022. But I will tell you that this whole thing with our judicial system and how all this is looking does not – you kind of wonder how much, you know, we're wanting to be gracious to them, right? We're wanting to, you know, make sure that they're treated fairly. They get their three hots in a cot. They're allowed to mail, allowed to make phone calls, allowed to have certain privileges or rights. But at the same time, they're not willing to do that to you. And that defines them, you know, and I love how you're being of a kind and giving heart and saying, hey, you know, we want them to be treated fairly. which defines you, right? But their actions of over prosecution, over abusive treatment, the isolation, the whole thing, that defines them and shows them where their heart is really at. Is that, wouldn't you say that would be correct?
Of course. I mean, we're dealing, you know, when you're dealing with sin and how it affects, you know, the human heart, we're dealing with conditions of the heart here. And a lot of the DC bureaucrats and the entrenched elitists and stuff like that, they have a complete usurpation of sin in their hearts. And they're willing to do egregious things for political gain, including persecute political dissidents and inhumane treatment in order to dissuade further freedom fighters and patriots from ever standing up again. I mean, that's one of the sickest things, is that the January 6ers have become like the hamster or the, you know, the signal flare. Mm-hmm. That if you dare, this is what the tyrannical federal government wants the average everyday American person to know. If you dare stand up against Big Brother, New World Order, deep state, you know, shadow government, whatever you want to call it, it's all the same. The globalists, the global banking cartel and their puppets. If you dare stand up against this system, we will drag your name through the mud, hunt you down like animals, kick in your door in the middle of the night, put your children, your wives and at gunpoint, drag you out, throw you in the back of a van, deny you due process, railroad you in a corrupt system of justice with rigged juries and corrupt judges and disgusting prosecutors, and sentence you to decades in prison. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. And that's the message. That's the message to dissuade further action to defend this constitutional republic, to bow down and let it turn to a despotic communist regime. And that's really why we're being treated so harshly. At one point, yeah, of course, they're getting their rocks off by it, you know, but they're really just using us to try to bludgeon us down so that they can show the rest of Americans that, you know, this is what's waiting for you and to make everyone docile.
Yeah.
Treatment.
Oh, absolutely. And shame on them. I mean, again, that defines them and their character and who they have to answer to when this is all done. Are you finding anything where the sheriffs are stepping in or any, you know, the sheriffs are constitutional officers. Have we seen any sheriffs bother to stand up for J6ers and say, you're not going to detain these people, you're not going to take them out of my county?
We've discussed it. I don't know I know sheriffs who have said that, but there is no Jan Sixers from their county that have been come to be taken, so we can't measure their words if they have might or not behind them. But it would be a beautiful, beautiful movement to see constitutional sheriffs and militias and all these legal constitutionally guaranteed and sound things start to do the right thing and to refuse to give up their citizens to a federal law enforcement agency that's, you know, barraging in on another state's or another county's jurisdiction and coming to kidnap citizens away. It would be wholly well received by me and the MAGA clan that I hang out with.
Yeah.
If people had the backbone to do such a thing, I mean, I would represent those people as heroes, not as, you know, what the media would try to paint them as. I would say that those are brave American heroes,
right,
who have sworn an oath to the Constitution to protect it from enemies, both foreign and domestic.
Yeah.
And we need to start worrying about the domestic enemies. The foreign ones, they can die another day.
Well, I had a conversation with in an open forum. It was recorded in front of 100 and some people. I asked the sheriff in my county, Sedgwick County, Kansas, I said, are you a constitutional sheriff? And he openly said, well, I'm a constitutional sheriff, but not like you think constitutional sheriff. And I'm like, then you're not a constitutional sheriff. I mean, there's no kind of constitution. It's either the constitution limits the government or it doesn't. And obviously you don't believe it does. So the sad part of it is we do have sheriffs out there who carry the badge and act like they're something amazing because they are elected, but they don't do their job the way they should, and we should actually hold them accountable for those behaviors or replace them. Do you have anything that's going on that you're seeing at the events or things going on that people should be aware of coming up?
Yeah, well, I mean, we just had an amazing representation for the January 6ers at CPAC. I sent my organization, the January 6th Legal Fund and sponsored J6.com to CPAC. We had 30 volunteers. We had a huge booth. It was the number one foot traffic booth at CPAC, literally lines 20, 30 people waiting to meet the family members of Jan Sixers and hear our stories and just be involved in our community. And we're going to be at Clay Clark's Reawakening Tour June 7th in Michigan as well, with a booth all set up, ready to field questions and get you guys involved and point you in the right direction to help out. You know, we constantly have call to actions that my team manages through my Twitter page, which is at Jake Lang J6, which has been, you know, reasonably a very strong weapon for us as far as when they're mistreating a prisoner or we're trying to get, you know, Congress to make action or something. We periodically put out, you know, big calls to action on there. So that's a great resource, too, if you guys want to get, you know, entrenched in this war with us and stand with us shoulder to shoulder. My Twitter at Jake Lang J6 is a great resource.
Good. Now, Jake, as you're in doing these things, is there anything that somebody can do other than cash? Is there, can we visit you guys? I mean, can we send you stuff? I mean, everything's a little different, right? The rules are always changing, but what is it you need, man? I mean, I know cash is king and makes a lot of things go around, but you're paying for their crap on their profit margin. Is there gifts that can be sent? Is there items that can be sent? What can be sent to you guys?
We can receive letters and cards and books is pretty much the only tangible items from the outside that we can receive. And we can receive prayers at any given moment. In order to find the full list of incarcerated January Sixers, the best resource to go to is patriotmailproject.com. And on there, you'll see the list of all the Jan Sixers who are incarcerated and the information on how to mail them. Writing a letter, guys, is so important. I've received probably about 3,000 or 4,000 letters and cards since I've been incarcerated, and they've come always at the right time, at the right moment, sitting in solitary confinement, you know, but maybe a little downtrodden at times, very, very rarely in my case personally, but I know a lot of my brothers struggle a lot with how much their families are hurting at home. They've got, you know, a 6-year-old daughter at home and an 8-year-old son, and they, you know, they get to speak to them for a little 15-minute phone call, and then they're back in their cell for the day and stuff. That mental torture can not be compared to, you know, I'm a young man. I'm built for this war. I don't have kids at home. I don't have people that are relying on me financially at home and stuff. So I have a different, you know, that's why I go out and I fight so hard for us. But a lot of my brothers, just write them and encourage them, please, and pray for them. So guys, go to patriotmailproject.com. You can get the full list of all the incarcerated Jan Sixers and how to mail them and send them books and stuff there.
Very good. I just put those in the comments so that way everybody can see those and be able to go to those websites and see what's going on. Okay, so I appreciate you sticking on the phone. I got about another 20 minutes if you want to go that long. It's up to you. Tell us a story about inspiration. I mean, tell me about something. I don't know. There's got to be good things going on in there. And I'm really trying not to get emotional about this, but tell us about some good stuff, please.
I love that. I'm all about God's spirit and positive, moving forward, fighting hopelessness through prayer, through reading God's word, through community organizing, fundraising, prayer calls and stuff. So we do. That's what we do. We could have a million conversations for a million days straight about all of the egregious, you know, evil, satanic stuff the government does. But let's raise the vibration and let's talk about the revivals that I've seen. By God's grace, I've been able to baptize 10 men, including 3-4 January Sixers while I've been in prison, and run Bible studies in all these 15 different prisons I've been in, and see men's lives change, see the gospel take root in hearts. And there is redemption in any situation. There is a presence that knows no limits and knows no jail wall. It knows no locked cell door. God's spirit moves freely to those who call out and truly want to know him. And I've seen it move, and I've seen him do miracles in my life, from taking me from an alcoholic club promoter in New York City, completely given away to the worldliness and fleshly desires and all of the things that come with the New York City nightlife. God pulled me out, called me out by name, and put his son Jesus directly in the most inner room of my heart. And I know miracles can happen through the name of Jesus. I've seen them happen. I'm living proof that you can go through solitary confinement. You can go through isolation and no haircuts, no shaves, no sunlight for months at a time, inadequate food, no quote unquote religious services, no lawyer visitations and legal access. You can go through the hardest, most isolated and loneliest times without feeling even the smell of smoke, without even feeling the enemy's fire on you. God is real and God loves you and God wants to be in relationship with you. And his son Jesus is the way to God's heart.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Well, and that's great that we are able to, again, it's the story of Daniel, right? And in the lion's den, you can stand there in the most, you know, horrible, you know, you think everything's over, but in reality, you stand there in your own strength and, you know, you have the strength of God and to help you through those times and you can persevere. Again, you defined yourself in those moments, right? You made yourself a better man. And instead of, you know, going down the spiral and the wrong direction, you went the right direction, correct?
Yeah, I mean, one of the, you know, key facets to a lot of my spiritual growth, Jim, has been a lot of the Christian radio stations that are across this country. Guys, it's free. Access it on your phone or your car. Not only K-Love for worship and good quality time and God's joy, but they have like WMAL and other Christian ministry programs online where every half hour it's a different pastor. And I've sat and taken notes and done my Bible studies and just been washed in the Word so many times through, you know, just that quiet time with the Lord, reading and listening to pastors preaching and stuff. And there's no amount of growth that's quite like spiritual growth. You know, you can study college courses, you can study a new language, you can study Stoic philosophy, which is great. Those are all awesome, positive, moving forward things. But the things that God wants to do in each one of us through that quiet, still time with Him and really pursuing Him on the basis of His full truth and His fullness, He's going to prepare you and leapfrog you forward in every other aspect of your life, right? We have Matthew 5:33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all things should be added unto you. And this is the truth, that when you do have that time alone to read your Bible and to seek God and to listen to some ministry, take it, because the way it'll affect every other aspect of your life is exponential.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, now, Jake, as you've been in there, has there been something like, I don't know, what is it like for the people that have known you, like when you were younger? Have people reached out from you that knew you were younger and known recently, or people that you've kind of forgotten about? Have they kind of circled back around? Have you found a bigger wagon circle, or have people left you behind?
Yes and no. There are certain members of the nightlife community that have seen my walk with Christ and been inspired to come and to dip their toes in the water, and some of them take the full plunge into a new regenerated life in Christ. Even a lot of them just politically have been converted, as we could say, to understanding just the attraction. I mean, my walk is whatever, but you know, when they go to the grocery store and they see the drag queen story hour strip clubs and in schools and libraries and stuff. I mean, a lot of them have woken up, seen what the government's willing to do to just, you know, I'm like a normal person as far as, they know me. I used to be, you know, into parties and at the nice restaurants and in the limousines and all that stuff. And if the government's willing to come and kick down my door and treat me like, you know, the Boston bomber or El Chapo or whatever, right, they're realizing that maybe this government is after, you know, the wrong people. And I don't know, there's been a huge awakening in so many different fields and places, old business partners of mine, old, you know, table companions and girls that I used to see and stuff. There's been a lot of outreach. I've received hundreds and hundreds of DMs on my pages from old friends and high school, you know, wrestling people and everybody, it seems. I mean, of course, there's more that haven't reached out that have, but I see goodness. I see God using my persecution to bring him glory, and that's all that matters.
Well, and I appreciate your story and you being able to keep your head above water in this whole thing. And again, you know, the sad part of this is you think about it, they brought politics to prison. I don't think they really understand the impact of you have other prisoners actually lifting you up. I don't think you realize what kind of street cred that creates with Republicans or conservatives, I would say, not say Republicans, because that's all BS. But as a conservative, I think you would have to say, look at these guys who now understand politics more than they really ever said that, well, it was the cops against us. But now they see it's actually a political system, right?
100%. I mean, we're talking about one of the, staples of leftist ideology as far as, you know, the prisoners, the oppressed, right? That's who they claim to stand for. But every single federal prisoner that I've met is a Donald Trump supporter because he signed the First Step Act. No president in 50 years has done anything for federal prisoners. And you've got, you know, Orange Man flying in from the rooftops here, saving so many people's lives and giving them a second chance at being, you know, rehabilitated citizen in society. I met people praising Donald Trump. They got arrested when they're 19, 20 years old for doing something, you know, violent and stupid that they deeply regret. And they've done 20, 30 years in prison and they've been completely transformed, men of God, rehabilitated, given over to humility and improving themselves. And now all of a sudden they have their second chance at life because of the First Step Act. And they're so grateful for Donald Trump and for the, you know, conservative movement that has brought him into office. And they're like gung-ho about Trump and this movement. You know, they see society because they've been isolated from it. You know, all they see is the news reports, and then they get people like me coming off the street and telling them what's happening. They didn't realize a lot of them left kids, you know, the kids when they're younger, the kids were indoctrinated in schools and the sexuality and the transgender agenda. And these guys, they're just, you know, there's obviously, I don't know if you guys know in prison, but sexual criminals, especially ones on children and rapists are not welcome in, you know, the hardened prison communities. And so these men have some level of weird type of street morality that they go by. And they're realizing that perversion that they wholly stand against in these environments is usurping and taking hold in American society and our schools. And that's what the liberals are teaching the kids to, you know, embrace these perversions, sexual, immoral perversions. And so the prisoners are like, I'm not going for the Democrats. These guys want to turn all of our kids transgender. Yeah. And they want to, you know, you know, Joe Biden's a pedophile. These guys are not for it. And so it's just crazy to see the prison environment. They love Donald Trump. They love the Jan Sixers. And we've got a lot of cred in here.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. And I appreciate that you're able to do that. Well, and isn't it, you know, kind of funny how we used to have this song, Give Peace a Chance, and yet they're not doing anything peaceful with you guys. They're not giving you guys peace. They're not giving you those kind of things. And it's really amazing that they have not been able to be better people. And I guess, again, we just talk about it's just showing their true heart and what they really are. Jake, I'm gonna do my final monologue, close out the show, but I want you to give us 1 or 2 minutes here of what you want the people to hear and how what they want to remember from you.
Well, if you just remember the name of Jesus and he's your savior, that's fine for me. But for January 6th, guys, and first of all, Jim, thank you so much for having me on your program. You've just been a complete gentleman and a scholar and a great patriot. And your willingness to share your platform with prisoners like myself that have, you know, they've tried to rip away everything from me is just a testimony to your bravery. So God bless you for that. And guys that are out there listening to Jim, do whatever you can do to support him. If he's got a fundraiser or a locals or a subscription or an online store or whatever he's got that he's doing, do your part and get involved in financially supporting Jim, because it's journalists and independent media like this that is able to bring the truth to directly to you guys. So support him, please. January 6th, don't remember it as a Fed insurrection, God forbid. It may have been, and it probably was orchestrated, but it was at the core, it was a day where free men stood against tyrants. It was a day where the spirit of 1776 and our founding fathers were with us. We said, we will not crumble. We will not let America become a socialist, communist, Marxist regime. We will stand. We will stand firm with the full armor of God. And I love being a January 6er. Right. I love being hated by an evil government. To rebel against tyranny is duty and obedience to God. And wherever God takes me from here, wherever God takes the January 6th movement and Donald Trump and our pardons and the whole nine yards, I'm willing to go wherever God leads me. If that means do another 20 years in prison, being a political prisoner, I'm willing to do whatever God calls me to do. And now you have to be willing to do whatever God's calling you to do, and get up and get out there and start doing it. Thank you, Jim. God bless you. God bless America. Again, sponsor J6.com to support the Jan Sixers. And my Twitter is at Jake Lang J6 if you want to stay in tune with the community. Absolutely. Thank you, Jim.
Hey, Jake, thank you so much for everything. And you got me crying, buddy. Appreciate it. And hey, thank you for all you've done and what you're doing out there. Don't give up and don't give in. We will win, I promise you. And I don't make promises I can't keep. Thank you for everything you're doing, buddy. I appreciate it.
God bless you.
Talk to you soon. Bye bye. All right, guys. Woo wee. All right. How do you back that up, right? All right, well, guys, this is how it works. This is our government in hand right now. This is what it's like. This is what they do right at now, right at hand. This is what they do. This is how they treat people. If you want to know what it's like, understand this. I've lived this. I know what it's like. I wasn't in the building. I didn't go inside. I was on the other side, on the Supreme Court side. I saw what was going on. I know what was going on. I saw the paid actors. We know that they've been revealed. We know what's out there. And guys, if you don't open your mouth and you don't start talking, God dang it, we're all going to be having this story that we're going to be telling each other behind the walls. And I don't want that to happen to us, because we're better than that. And even though they're not better than that, we get to be better than that. This is our time, right? This is our time to show our true hearts of where we can be. And there's so much more to what's going on in front of us that it's a bigger life lesson of how amazing we get to be in this time, that there's no reason to ever look over our shoulder and say, I wonder if I should or if I should do that. And I will tell you, James O'Keefe, he had a great statement that came out the other day, and I had some people send it to me, and they said, you know, Jim, this sounds like you. If you're not willing to put it all at the altar, then you're for sale. If you're not willing to put your life at the altar of freedom, then you are for sale. And what will that look like? What will that look like? What would it look like for you to go ahead and sell your soul for the 30 pieces of silver, Judas? What will it be for you? What does it mean for you? So in the time when we think of our country like this, this is our time to stand up and be bold and say, you know, not today. I'm not going to stand for today. I'm not going to let you do it to my neighbor. I'm not going to let you do it to my city. See, remember, our neighbor, community, city, county, state, the federal government, the more you do for them, the less they do for you. Learn how to be selfless and not so damn selfish. There will be a far better place. Do you understand the emphasis of why I say that at every show? Do not give up. Do not give in. We will win. I promise. Don't make, you know, hold the line. God, I got it all screwed up now. Hold the line. Do not hold the line or hold fast. I'm all emotional right now. Hold the line. Hold fast. Do not give up. Do not give in. We will win. I promise. Don't make promise I can't keep. Why do I say that? Because it's necessary. Because it's what we're going through. It's who we really are. This is America. And if right now your heart is not aching for this moment, right, you need to check yourself. You need to find out what's really going on. Find out where your heart is and what your heart really means to you, what it's really doing and what it's really thinking right now. Feel that emotion. Put your hand on your chest, put your hand on your heart, and understand that those feelings, those emotions are real. They're valid. They're validated. Righteous indignation. God didn't tell you to turn the other cheek. It says to tell the person who has wronged you to turn that cheek, and it is your discretion whether you take it or not. Understand when we use words and we mean those words, they're necessary. When I say righteous indignation, I mean it. When I say we should close down our borders and close down our country and so that we can have a little time of healing to get our shit together, I mean it. Why is it that our government, our National Guard is being overran at the border? Where are the pistols? Where are the machine guns? Where's the AR-15s that we all supposedly, the assault rifles? Why aren't we stopping these people from invading our country? This is your time. This is your time. This is your time. This is our time. This is the time to stand up and see what it really takes to be an American. This is it. There's no more. We'll redo it next year. We'll get the election right in the next one. We'll do it this way. They just voted out $1.2 trillion for the next few months. That's going to include all kinds of LGBTQY stores in your school where they can give these kids a tuck underwear, and they can help them through transitional chemical therapy in school. And they're going to have drag queen sponsored government shows and all this other crap, guys. It's literally in the bill. It went through the House today. The Senate's has been voting on it. It's probably been voted on it while since I've been on the air. I was trying to watch most of it today to be able to give you back reports. Curly May was talking about how the royals have Kate now got cancer, the one who went missing in December. Now they're saying she has cancer. Obviously, she's already dead. She's going to come down with cancer. Then she's going to die because she was already dead, and we had to do this whole thing because the public found out she hasn't been seen. Kate Middleton is now. Yeah, this is how we do it. So, guys, when we see that they're willing to kill the royals, we see they're willing to kill the prince and everybody else and Kobe and Kobe Bryant. I keep screwing his name up. Kobe Bryant, and you got people like JFK, and you got Kennedy and all this. Guys, listen, these things aren't accidental. They're not coinkydinks. Seth Rich didn't kill himself by shooting himself in the back of his head twice. It doesn't work that way. Again, we have examples of what our government and how far they're willing to go. And guys, yes, they can only kill you once. And I know that. I've lived that life. I know what it's like with the laser dot on your forehead when you're told you don't move or I'll blow your head off. That's my local police department. That's what they did to me. And they did it over and over and over again. This is how it works. I was arrested 5 different times for the same crime. My friend, my judge friend, signed my no-knock warrant on my house. Guys, the battle is here. You don't think World War III is here? We're almost into World War IV. And you're not even paying attention to what happened already. The reason I got into this fight, the reason I got where I'm at, the reason I don't go out and do DOD contracting for, because I ran for office and they were so scared of old Jim Price. Little old Jim Price is so terrifying that they had to do everything they could to keep him away from the office of state senate, a $12,000 a year job. They were so afraid of me. Think about it, guys. If they were so afraid of me of getting a $12,000 a year state senate job, how powerful was I? How scary was I to them? If they were willing to destroy my life and go after me the way they did, and I had to sell off everything I owned to be able to defend myself, guys, these people are coming for you. It is real. You may not be the one right now, but they've brought in 18 million people in America out of other countries. And you don't think those people, do you think those people have loyalty to America? You think they're going to salute the flag and put their hand over their heart? This world right now is a scary place to live in. And if you don't start standing up right now, if you don't start getting on your 2 feet and feeling empowered, then you're already in jail. You're already in your own prison. They already got you. So stand up, create the parallel economy in your life, meaning that you don't need the government. You don't ask them permission. And I know we got April 15th coming up here real soon, but you got to start figuring out what side of the line you want to be on. Are you still paying into a system that's chewing the legs off of you, that's sponsoring abortions worldwide? Are you still paying into a system that is actually creating genocide? Are you paying into a system that is incarcerating January 6ers, but yet not going after Antifa? What about the 2 years prior to that where Antifa was burning down some of the biggest cities in our country? Where are those people being held? Why weren't we tracking their cell phones? Why aren't we raiding their houses and beating their doors down? What happened to Portland and the whole Chaz city? See, guys, it's a problem for us. Curly May, if you guys got 10 million in Canada, we got at least 18 million here. And I tell you what, folks, it's not the good people. It's not the good people. This is your time, and it's not that hard. And guys, it's time for us to wrap it up here, and I appreciate everything you guys have done. Love all the comments. Thank you guys so much for everything you guys have said, the great comments. Thank you for getting words of encouragement during the interview. I've posted the websites on the comments. If you want to go help, you know, these guys with their phone calls, with the time that they're spending in there, trust me, commissary and getting your, you know, a loaf of bread and a thing of peanut butter is literally heaven. In there, that is literally heaven. Having some paper to write on and to be able to mail letters and receive letters, that is heaven. Heaven on earth. It absolutely is a real thing. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for everything you guys are doing. Remember the 10% we do for our neighbor, community, city, county, state, the federal government. The more you do for them, the less they have to do for you. Learn how to be selfless and not so damn selfish. There will be a far, far better place. Remember, hold the line. Hold fast. Do not give up. Do not give in. We will win. I promise. I'll make promise I can't keep. Guys, you've always been the answer. Remember, the Constitution limits the government, but never, ever limits you. You guys have always been the answer. Remember, be the difference makers out there, guys. Do not give up. Do not give in. This is your time. Do not let them abuse you any longer. Stand up for yourself in the right way and be the right people. When you show up in mass, when you show up in numbers, that's what terrifies them. You guys scared them so bad on January 6th when 1 million people showed up to Washington. It terrified them and showed that they were on the wrong side of history. And we will always be on the right side when we're thinking of freedoms and liberties for all. All right, guys. Well, thank you for all the great comments. Lindsay, Edward, Janet, Curly May, Melissa. We had Tanya, Lisa. Tony Culver was here today. Great to see you. Sarah was Claudia over on X, Twitter over there. Ken Rising, good to see you. Thank you guys so much for being a part of the show. It's been great. Jill, it's good to see you as well. Thank you for being here. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. I'm Jim Price, the Jim Price Show Daily Update. You guys all be good to each other, and I'll see you guys on Monday. Bye-bye.